Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Senior Market Analyst here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Market Analyst, Roman Zuruk. Welcome everyone to our latest episode of FX Talk. Can you join us following a very hectic week or so in markets? We've seen a handful of major central bank announcements in the last few days, which has created a very volatile trading environment. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 75 basis points, the first time it's done that since 1994. The European Central Bank held an unscheduled policy meeting less than a week after their scheduled one in early June. This came in response to the recent blowout in peripheral bond spreads, with the bank announcing that it was accelerating the development of a new tool designed to allay the divergence in borrowing costs in the common block. Last Thursday, the Bank of England also raised interest rates by another 25 basis points, the fifth consecutive hike, while signalling that 50 basis point hikes could be on the way. And we'll talk about those announcements and what they might mean for the G3 currencies in a bit more detail on our next podcast episode, which will be our first in video format. So make sure you look out for that one. And we'll preview what to expect in markets during the second half of 2022. Today, though, we're going to start by instead focusing on one of the big major surprises that we got in the markets last week, and that was the Swiss National Bank decision. The Swiss franc was one of the best performing currencies in the G10 last week after the SNB shocked markets by announcing a 50 basis point interest rate hike after the consensus was for no change in rates. The bank also altered its wording on the franc, no longer calling it highly valued and saying that it would be prepared to intervene in the market on both sides, i.e. it will now therefore also sell its FX reserve holdings in order to prevent an unwanted depreciation in the currency. And this marks a pretty historic change in direction from the central bank, which has long favoured a weaker currency. Anyway, what do you guys both make of the Swiss National Bank decision last week, and what impact do you think it could have on the Swiss franc?
I think it's a huge surprise. I mean, because let's not forget that while inflation in Switzerland has increased, it has still around the level of 2-2.5% that central banks are typically comfortable with. This hasn't reached the levels that you've seen in the Eurozone or the United States. And yet we had this hawkish shocker. It was a double whammy because on the one hand, it raised rates by 50 basis points by surprise. Nobody was expecting it. But even more importantly, it introduced a bidirectional risk in the intervention, in currency intervention, which for the last, I would say, almost 10 years, the Swiss National Bank has been on the side of fighting Swiss franc appreciation, weakening the currency, and now it introduces two-way risk. This is an incredible change in stance. I don't think current market levels really reflect that sea change in the attitude of the Swiss franc. We're definitely going to be revising our forecast for the Swiss franc significantly higher versus both the euro and the dollar on the basis of this. But in addition to the impact on the Swiss franc itself, I think it tells you a lot about the sea change among attitudes and G10 central banks about inflation of the last 3 months from the consensus that we saw at the end of 2021, just short 6 months ago, about how inflation was transitory and not something to worry about too much, to the most, what was perhaps the second most dovish central bank in the world, surprising markets with this unexpected turn.
Yeah, I think it was massively important decision, and it reminds us of the 2015 when the central bank surprised the markets and decided to scrap the pledge to keep a cap on the euro franc rate. The market volatility right now in the consequence of the move was not as significant, but it was still a very big shock, and that has ramifications in Switzerland and also in other countries. It was shocking that it came before the ECB, I think no one or almost no one expected any change from the Swiss National Bank at the meeting. Some people were thinking that the SNB is readying towards interest rate hikes. And in fact, its communication and certain changes did indicate that it may be onto something later in the year. Nonetheless, moving in such a significant increment and before the ECB is quite shocking. It's interesting. It was interesting to see the updated inflation forecast because it was revised significantly upwards compared to the previous conditional one. And importantly, this forecast already reflects the interest rate hike that the Swiss National Bank conducted. And even with this hike, inflation is still expected to remain relatively high, which opens door likely for another hike, possibly at the September meeting, because the Swiss National Bank, contrary to, let's say, ECB or some other main central banks, is meeting only once a quarter. And this also could be why the size of the increase was so significant, so 50 basis point. And I think that in this context, another 50 basis point in September looks quite likely to me. I think they may want to hike by either 25 or 50, but right now I'm leaning towards 50 a bit more. But interestingly, as Enrique said, this is an important message in the context of all central banks, that they are seeing the inflation risks and reacting to them aggressively. And it also is an important change, not only for the main currencies and for the Swiss franc, but also for the emerging market spectrum. After the decisions of the Federal Reserve and the Swiss National Bank, we saw a significant increase in pricing of interest rate hikes across the board. And I think that it will be a challenging time for the emerging market central banks because they'll have to decide whether they would want to slow their economies more by hiking more than initially thought, or whether they would want to allow their currencies to be weaker in the context of very aggressive tightening in the developed economies.
Yes, I certainly think that's a risk for emerging markets for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a big surprise. Markets were caught completely wrong-footed. I mean, I expected a hawkish pivot from the SNB that would perhaps pave the way for a rate hike in September after the European Central Bank. But I think what the decision does show is just how far behind the curve the ECB is when it comes to raising rates. Swiss National Bank has long been one of the most ultra-cautious in the G10. So the fact that the ECB is trading behind its counterpart in Switzerland just shows how far behind they have been and how slow they have been to start raising interest rates. And as we've been saying, it's also symptomatic of the current inflationary environment. We've been saying this for a number of weeks, maybe months now, to always take the over when it comes to both inflation prints and central bank interest rate hikes. And I think there's just this supports that argument. As far as Swiss franc is
just before we move on, it's just that I think that Roman brought up a very interesting point, which is this is probably as meaningful a turnaround in the Swiss National Bank stance as what we saw in 2015 when they famously stood back from the quasi peg that they have maintained with the euro, except that this time we've only seen a rally of 2% versus the euro, which tells me that markets are still haven't reacted enough. They have not taken in full the consequences and the meaning of this hawkish pivot of the Swiss National Bank.
Yes, I mean, my response to that would perhaps be due to the change in wording in the statement. We did get a shift in the bank's view on FX interventions, which I think was pretty important. Not only will it intervene in order to keep the currency weaker in order to prove its export competitiveness, it'll also now intervene in order to prop up the currency in order to prevent this weaker currency feeding its way through to higher inflation. So what that means is, I think they'll probably try and keep a balance between the two, and maybe try and keep the franc within some sort of a narrow band around current levels. But I certainly think, as you said, there's probably a little bit more room for franc appreciation, at least in the near term. And there's a lot of talk now in the market about parity perhaps in the Euro-Swiss franc exchange rate. Let's see if that materializes in the next few weeks. Before we move on to our spotlight currency, a word on last week's Federal Reserve announcement. We'll keep this relatively brief. As I said, we'll cover this in a bit more detail during our next episode in a couple of weeks' time. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates during its June meeting. It was a third consecutive rate increase. A 75 basis point move seemed pretty unthinkable prior to the latest inflation report, but the data once again came in much hotter than expected, with US inflation jumping to a fresh 40-year high, 8.6%. Prior to the meeting, we saw a sharp rally in the US dollar as markets began pricing in tougher action. Euro dollar, for instance, briefly fell but back below the 104 level, although it's since recovered some of these losses. The reaction FX actually in the immediate aftermath of the decision was relatively muted, given that the rate hike was mostly priced in. As expected, the Fed also materially revised higher its dot plot, with members now seeing the Fed funds rate settling 175 basis points higher than current levels by year end. And Chair Powell also opened up the possibility of another 75 basis point hike at the July meeting. And at the time of recording, markets are pricing in around about a 90% chance of a 75 BP move next month. But what do you guys make of the announcement? What were your sort of general thoughts, perhaps key takeaways from the FOMC's decision last week?
I mean, the obvious is that the focus remains squarely on inflation. I think that the Federal Reserve is transmitting a message that it is much less concerned about the possibility of recession than, frankly, most economists out there or the stock market. The stock market, clearly, the recent sell-off implies that market participants see a significant chance of a recession in the next 12 months. Chair Powell is much more optimistic about the prospect of the U.S. economy than that. I frankly think that my views are closer to Powell's than to the markets. I think that the U.S. can bring down inflation without increasing unemployment significantly. We still have a way to go before. All the indicators on the labor market in the U.S. is that so far it's withstood the significant increase in interest rates well. The housing market is slowing down, but far from crashing. So I think that what we have is 50 basis. Frankly, I think that this will be the last 75 basis point hike. I think that we will see 50 basis points per meeting for quite some time. And I think that we will have rates above 4% in 2023. I think that's my reading from the Federal Reserve commentary.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting decision. The volatility after the move was limited, but this was because it was priced in before the meeting. It was signaled. Market started pricing it in after the inflation reading on Friday. And then early in the week, we started getting some media reports that they may consider raising rates by 75 basis points. So most of the effect actually took place early in the week. And the decision itself, to me, was quite surprising, particularly considering that we are seeing a deterioration in economic data. There are some disagreements within the team about the how significant this deceleration in growth is. But most of the data that I'm seeing suggests that the situation is worsening. I would be surprised to see another 75 basis point move, even though the market is almost fully pricing it in right now.
Sorry for interrupting. That's interesting, Roman. I just think it's very interesting because we have this disagreement, and I think it's good that we agree that there's not going to be another 75 basis points hike, but we disagree on the reasons why. I think that inflation is maybe not quite moderating, but it has certainly peaked. So the barrier is pretty high. I don't think we need unpleasant surprises in inflation to justify 75 basis point hike, which are unlikely to happen, especially because economies have revised their expectations for inflation up. What do you think as to our different views on the impact on the US economy? What indicators are you following and do you think are key and are telling the story that the economy is having trouble dealing with this new hike in interest rates?
Well, there is a number of high frequency indicators. One is the initial jobless claims. And although the situation there doesn't indicate that there is an overwhelmingly bad situation, I think that the job market has hit a wall or is close to hitting a wall. So we are unlikely to see significant improvement in that regard. And if anything, the situation should be deteriorating going forward. We also have the Atlanta Fed GDP Now real GDP indicator, which for the second quarter has indicated that the growth should be at 0%. This is not super reliable, but this is something that serves as an addition to that.
No, I agree with that. I would agree that that's one indicator that is clearly turning in your favor, that in favor of your view. That 0%. I just think it's very early in the quarter, in the second quarter, to really put too much weight behind it. But clearly, that's the one signal that I see flashing amber. The job market, the weekly job claims, I think that they're very, very low. I mean, in fact, a normal job market with a labor force of this size should be around 300,000 new weekly jobless claims a week. And instead, we're seeing like 200,000, 220,000. So I do agree that the Atlanta Fed is the indicator, current indicator of the best estimate of where current quarter GDP is going to be is not looking great. But I think it's very early in the quarter for that.
Yeah, but also if we look at the PMI data, it continues to point to expansion. But the levels that we are seeing suggest that the expansion is noticeably weaker than it was in 2021. So I think it also points to deceleration.
No, that I agree. I agree that there's going to be a weaker expansion. But I think that what the people are worried about is an actual contraction in the economy. Like the technical definition of a recession is back-to-back quarters of contraction. And I still think that's very unlikely. And PMI of 53.6, clearly above 50, which is the line between contraction and expansion, is incompatible with even a technical recession.
Yeah, but at the same time, if we actually look, take into account the data for the first quarter and the quarterly contraction that we saw, if we had even a small contraction, then technically the US economy would be in a recession. So maybe the market fears are too exacerbated, but I think that the economic data is clearly deteriorating. And at some point, the Fed should take it into account and slow down the pace of hikes. And I think that this time that they're going to do it is not very far from now. And also, this tells me that we, in fact, may be at the peak or maybe behind the peak of the US dollar strength. Considering that we typically say that how much more they are going to price in the markets with regards to the Fed moves. But at this point, this is it would be very hard to see how much more they can price in considering what's already there.
Yes, I mean, there's a very good debate there. I think this is going to be a big debate for the FOMC at its next meeting. You know, whether they go 50 or 75 is going to be a very key debate in the next few weeks leading up to that meeting. And as we've been alluding to, upcoming macroeconomic data will be absolutely key, not just on inflation, but economic activity data as well. If we start seeing signs of a deterioration in retail sales, PMIs, the housing data, for instance, then I think a 50 is on the way. If not, very good chance it could be a 75 basis point move as well. But we'll be paying very close attention. And as we said, next time we convene in the next episode, we'll talk about this in even more detail. And we're going to move on now and finish things off by talking about our spotlight currency for the week, which on today's episode will be the Polish zloty. And it's been a very interesting few weeks for the zloty against the euro. PLN slipped to a three-month low in mid-June, partly in response to expectations that the National Bank of Poland may be nearing the end of its current tightening cycle. Poland's central bank has raised interest rates at a very aggressive rate so far this year, having hiked by another 75 basis points at the start of the month to 6%. Despite posting a modest recovery in the past week or so, though, the zloty still remains actually one of the worst performing emerging market currencies that we cover year to date, trading around about 8% lower versus the US dollar. But what's been behind this underperformance and what can we expect during the rest of the year? And does the zloty present a buy, sell or a hold opportunity? Roman, perhaps as our CEE expert, you can start us off. What do you think?
Yes, so with regards to what's driving the zloty underperformance, I think it was largely the external environment. Last week, we saw the euro zloty jumping to 4.74 on Thursday, but this was the day where Polish traders were on holiday, and on such an occasion, the liquidity in the markets tends to be somewhat thin, and the moves can be exacerbated. But at the same time, we had very aggressive hikes from the Federal Reserve, a very aggressive hike from the S&P. So this is something that maybe put out a question to whether the National Bank of Poland will want to tighten monetary policy more to counteract the pressure that may arise because of this aggressive tightening in developed economies or not, particularly considering that there's been a dovish shift in tone at their last meeting. The Governor Glapiński stated that the bank is getting closer to the end of interest rate hikes and, in fact, may reverse the hikes at the end of next year. So this is something that assured us previously that our expectations of interest rates in Poland moving to around 7% and possibly not much more are correct. But at this point, when we are seeing such an aggressive tightening, the market has repriced those expectations. Right now, assumes that the top four rate is at approximately 8.5%. And frankly, I don't think that the market is very wrong on that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see rates going to 8% or even perhaps more, even despite the economic data that points to a deceleration in economic growth. I'm still positive on the zloty. I think that the currency should appreciate, although it is not a commodity currency, contrary to, let's say, Latin American currencies that may find support in strong commodity prices. The zloty is surprisingly weak, in my view. Considering that the National Bank of Poland should continue tightening rates, considering that the relationship with the EU seems to be improving, Poland's recovery plan was accepted by the EU Commission, which means that the funds should start flowing to Poland in a few months, the additional funds that should support growth. And in the context of war in Ukraine, I think that this relationship with the EU has probably improved with a rather positive position of Poland.
That's interesting. One question I have, Roman, is what do you make of this PMI, manufacturing PMI in Poland falling below 50? Because I generally share your positive outlook on both the Polish economy and the zloty, barring a worsening of the war in Ukraine. But I was a little bit negatively surprised by this development.
Yeah, that's true. This is something that that has effectively started worries about the situation in the Polish economy. And if we look at the most recent hard data, we in fact see that it is not as good as before. Even today, we had the data for the wage growth, which for the first time in a while showed that the wages right now in real terms are declining. So I think that the process of deceleration of economic growth has clearly started. It's Poland had a very robust turn of the year. It effectively an 8% growth, and this is significantly above the potential of the economy, how much it should grow in normally, which is around estimated to be around 3 to 4%. And the PMI was one of the data points that started bringing our attention to the prospect that the economic growth may in fact decelerate below this 3 to 4% level at least for some time. Nonetheless, I don't share some fears that a certain number of people have, that we are going to have a recession or a very gloomy prospects ahead of us. I think that the labor market situation in Poland is very good. I think that the funds from the EU should support growth. And generally, I think that Poland is one of those countries that typically is performing rather well. So I would be very surprised to see a prolonged period of gloom in Poland.
And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit Ebrie's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.